Hey there, it's Dr. Stacy Cordovano. As a veterinary professional, you can learn to be happier, healthier, wealthier, and more grateful for the life that you've created. This podcast is here to help you find the resources to do just that. I will speak with outside-of-the-box thinkers to hear new ideas on ways to improve our day-to-day lives. Together, we will create a community of veterinarians working towards positive change. Welcome to The Whole Veterinarian. In today's episode, I'm joined by two amazingly kind and inspirational women. Dr. Cindy Trice is a multi-state licensed relief veterinarian with over 18 years of experience working in who can remember how many unique general practice, emergency, mobile, and shelter clinics. She finds great satisfaction helping other vets take hard-earned breaks. In 2018, she founded Relief Rover, a community connecting relief vets to jobs, each other, resources, and service providers who can help them grow their businesses. Because she sometimes likes to interact with those who understand more than just five commands, Cindy is also a consultant, speaker, serial entrepreneur, and author. Based on her experiences as a cancer patient, Dr. Trice founded a clothing company called Kick It Pajamas that designs sleepwear and other accessories for women battling cancer. Cindy spends most of the year sweating it out in Bradenton, Florida with her husband and two Long and Low rescue dogs. In her spare time, she loves to volunteer, cook, scheme travel plans, and write rap lyrics for hamsters. I wish I'd known that before we interviewed her. Today, we're also joined by Dr. Julie Liu. She's an elite, fear-free, certified professional, cat-friendly relief veterinarian based in Austin, Texas. Julie is also a speaker, freelancer, and is silver certified in low-stress handling. After over a decade of work as an associate veterinarian, Dr. Liu found her calling in speaking to veterinary professionals and allowing them to connect more compassionately with their patients, with a special focus on felines. She thrives on collaboration and meets challenges with innovation. If your team is struggling with stressed pets, stressed people, and injuries related to handling fearful patients, Julie is here to help through her company, Flux Veterinary. In her relief work, she feels good knowing that she's able to make a difference for clinics that are overbooked by helping with staff vacations or helping cover for solo practices where the owner never gets to take time off. Outside of work, Julie loves traveling, going to the movies, trying new restaurants, going to bakeries, and cooking. Together, Drs. Trice and Liu have co-created the Fear-Free course for relief veterinarians, which you'll hear more about in the episode. I really learned a ton from their unique perspectives, and I'm so thankful for their time. I hope you enjoy this episode as much as I did. So thank you again to Cindy and Julie for your time and expertise. Hi, ladies. Thank you so much for being here today to sit down and chat with me. How are you?
Doing great. We're excited to be here.
Great.
Yes, definitely.
Awesome. So I gave your brief bios in my introduction that I pre-recorded, but let's just do a little bit about each one of you so everyone listening can get kind of a context of who's sitting down to chat with me today.
Do you want to go first, Cindy?
Sure, I'll go first. So I am a veterinarian. I'm a 2004 UC Davis grad, and I've had a really marvelous experience in this profession so far. I have a ways to go still, but I consider myself a professional sampler. I love to work ER, GP, shelter, mobile. I just recently did, and that was super fun. So anyway, I love this profession, and I love what it's done for me and my life and my career.
Awesome. And there's a lot more to dig in with Dr. Trice, I know, so we will get there. But Julie, how about you? A little bit about yourself.
Yeah, I'm Julie Liu. I'm a vet based in Austin. I just got licensed in California last year, so I'm excited about potentially practicing there to visit my sister at the same time. I was an associate vet for quite a while. About a year and a half ago, I became a relief vet. I started branching out into non-clinical practice. I contribute to Fear Free. I'm one of their speakers. I've kind of contributed to some curriculum writing. And kind of similar to Cindy, I really enjoy exploring all the facets of being a vet that are much more beyond associate work, which I never would have guessed until I left associate practice.
Nice. I think that's a great segue kind of into our general topic of today, which is keeping an open mind on how your veterinary career can look. But let's first focus on relief, because I know that's a big part of both of your careers currently. So what led you, Cindy, let's start with you, what led you into a relief career?
It was actually a little bit on accident. I graduated and I went into an internship, got sick, had to drop out, ended up going into general practice for a year and a half. And it really bugged me that I didn't finish that internship. So I went back and I did it again.
Typical.
After that was over, I had this decision to make. I could either go back to the practice where I was before, or I could look around. And I just wanted to look around. I loved the practice where I was before, but I thought, you know what? I know there's lots of different ways of doing things. So I started relief as a way to explore, to see what other options were out there. It wasn't so much I thought of myself as a career relief vet. Mm-hmm. But then I had this evolution where I was like, oh, wait a second. This can be a career. And my husband is a freelance photographer, and we moved to Missoula for a job that he had for 6 months. And so I suddenly was with this veterinary community. I didn't know anybody. And so I sent out my cover letter and my little business cards, and I just established myself as a relief vet in a brand new community. I had been a relief vet in Florida, but I kind of knew people here. And that was when I realized, you know what? This can be a career, and it can actually support this kind of lifestyle of living part-time in Florida, maybe part-time in Missoula, maybe traveling to other states. So that was kind of how I got my start.
That's definitely different, I think, than probably some. Julie, I'm curious to hear if yours is a similar path or different of how you got to relief.
You know, I guess for me, I also didn't know that people could be relief vets. Like, I don't remember ever hearing about relief vet as a career in school. Yeah. So I had a couple associate jobs, and similar to a lot of people, I was definitely experiencing quite a bit of burnout. And some of it was, you know, I think self-imposed, because I wasn't really good at setting boundaries for work-life balance, which I'm sure sounds familiar to many people. Everyone. And I just remember I had met a couple of relief vets at my last practice, and I knew I kind of, you know, wanted to leave that particular position, but the thought of going to another associate position was not super appealing. So I'm like, hey, do you want to go out for coffee? Let me pick your brain about being a relief vet. And they were so excited about their jobs. And just, you know, being able to operate independently, work where you want, when you want, set your rates. I mean, some of it's kind of terrifying, because I'm like, oh my God, how do you operate your own business? But, you know, just hearing their experiences really kind of emboldened me and gave me confidence that, you know what, I want to try this. And then I actually had found Cindy's site, Relief Rover, when I was just Googling. I probably Googled, how do you be a relief vet? I think found Relief Rover, but she, you know, she has like an FAQ on her site. I mean, she's, the new website looks amazing, Cindy, but, there's tons of resources on how to be a relief vet. And I think from there, you know, my thoughts, I just kind of felt unburdened, and I just kind of became, I started thinking about, oh, what else can a vet do? So, I think prior to that, I had reached out locally to a couple, fear-free, connections I had. So veterinary behavior specialists, like a doctor and a technician. And I'd met them when I first moved to Austin, and I asked them, you know, how I can contribute to Fear Free. And so I kind of was doing that a little bit, but just becoming a relief vet really made me feel empowered to feel like, you know what, a vet doesn't just have to work at a clinic. They can do all sorts of other things and actually have a really good quality of life, and then actually learn to set boundaries. That's really going to help, you know, with their own happiness. So, so I've been really, I just feel like there's no way I would be where I am today and, you know, have explored all these other options if I hadn't, you know, gotten into relief work.
Yeah, that's really interesting. And certainly the idea of veterinary medicine not being one way is a theme on this podcast from the very beginning, right? Opening people's eyes to the fact that it can be done differently, and it can be done in a million different ways, is certainly a theme here. So I think it's super interesting that having a mentor or having someone that you had seen do it was really the catalyst to get you kind of over that hump. So hopefully this episode might be that catalyst for someone listening. So Let's circle back to Relief Rover, because I agree. The website is beautiful. It has a ton of information. How did that come to be, Cindy?
So I had the idea, sort of my second evolution as a relief vet. I started looking around and, you know, once I'd realized, you know, wow, this is a career. And then I wanted to level up. Like, how could I be a better relief vet? I started realizing that, you know, in clinical work, the clinic is my client, not the pet owner, not the pet. I take good care of them. That's certainly part of my duty as a vet and part of what's enjoyable, obviously, about the job. But my real duty is to support that practice. And once I had that shift in mindset, I started kind of looking around for resources of how I could level up. There was a woman, Dr. Karen Smith, who had written a book called Flex Vet, How to Be One, How to Hire One. And that was my start into understanding how to do this. But besides her, and she was sort of out of the game at this point, nobody was talking about it. Like Julie said, like you didn't really know about it as an option other than regional staffing agencies. So I just, I'd been doing it for a long time and I'd been doing it in lots of different ways. So I just, bing, self-anointed myself the expert. And I started, you know, introducing myself to people and writing for different, you know, offering to write articles and getting myself on the speaking circuit, and which, by the way, was terrifying. That didn't come and still doesn't necessarily come naturally to me, but I thought someone needs to help lead the way. And I don't, by no stretch of the imagination, do I feel like I know everything. But I know that there are a pool of people that have this collective knowledge. And we're lucky we have, Julie talked about it before, about there are multiple actually relief Facebook groups where this collective knowledge can come together and we can help each other. But I wanted to create something more formal. So Relief Rover was born to create a community of relief veterinarians where we could get resources, where we could use, our numbers so that I could negotiate discounts, like, for Fear Free. And we have other partners that we offer discounts for. So to kind of help us and to give advice on how do you even set up being a relief vet? And then how do you get work? And then, you know, what are some best practices? And then I also wanted to help them connect to opportunities, but I did not want to work like a staffing agency. So we don't. I always tell people we're more like a dating site. We are there to help introduce people to each other and then also to help elevate and empower relief professionals to follow whatever path they want, whether that's to be a career relief vet or whether they're using relief vet to shop and kind of try before they buy, you know, for jobs.
Yeah, that's great. That is so helpful to create that network for people, both person to person and educationally. And so it's free to join as a veterinarian or staff member looking for jobs. Is that correct?
Correct. It's free for veterinarians and technicians, and students can also come on and join us and poke around if they're interested. We don't have a specific student membership category, but we're going to be adding that. And then employers, so hospitals or other types of employers, telehealth companies, we've had writing companies come on who are looking for veterinary writers. We've had people who are looking for veterinary consultants come on. So anyone who's looking for an independent contractor vet, they can come on and join us as well. There is a subscription fee for people looking for the vets.
Okay, great. So we'll definitely link to that in the show notes. And then I know you just mentioned that you have some discounts and things with other companies, and the two of you have created a course for Fear Free. So Julie, can you talk a little bit about that course?
Yeah, I think, you know, one challenge I had when I became a relief vet is wanting to continue to practice Fear Free. So I had become Fear Free certified, I think, you know, maybe 5 years ago or something like that. And, you know, the two relief vets who had mentored me, they weren't Fear Free certified. And so I just wasn't sure. It's like, if you're mobile, how are you supposed to bring Fear Free to your clinics? So, it was something that really kind of caused me some stress as a relief vet, because once you become Fear Free certified, it's something that you really bring to every single shift. You bring it to every single patient you handle. So, anyway, so I already had a relationship with Fear Free and had been contributing to them. And I thought it'd be really helpful to provide a resource for other relief vets who were thinking, oh, you know, does Fear Free really apply to me? Or people who are associates thinking, oh, I might want to try relief work, but this is skill going to be able to transition to this other role. So since Cindy knows the most about being a relief vet than anyone else I know, I reached out to her and just wanted to see if she wanted to collaborate on the course. So I got released, I think a couple of months ago, I believe. But it was a really great collaboration. I really loved working with Cindy. And it covers a lot of different things, you know, from things like communication with the clinic owner, which, as Cindy mentioned, those are our clients as relief vets, to, you know, setting up expectations before the shift, having a fear-free toolkit that you can bring that has, you know, easy cheese and pepperoni and churu and, you know, really kind of helps make that fear-free experience. Fear-free leadership, and then this idea that Cindy has, which is great, of relief vets being pollinators, where we're basically spreading, you know, these positive ideas from clinic to clinic. Because I know when I was an associate, I look back now and I just feel like I was, you know, I had my regular clients, but it was sort of like this cave-like existence where you're kind of, you don't really get external influences very much. You know, you go to the CE events and you, you know, talk with other, you know, the relief vets who come to your clinic, but you're not really exposed to the number of ideas that you are when you're going to all these different clinics and seeing, it's like, oh, wow, this clinic is doing this and this is working really well. So similarly, when you go to clinics, you can also be a positive influence. And I've definitely found that, you know, as a fear-free vet. I'm very proud of the course. I feel like, you know, it's going to be really helpful for anybody in relief who is, you know, thinking about bringing that to their practice.
That's awesome. So just like a spoiler, I'm assuming you guys have found a way to make it work, fear-free being a relief vet. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think you generally can. I mean, just like when you're an associate, sometimes you're going to encounter these roadblocks where you're, where you're really not going to get too far with a certain person or a certain work scenario. But I just really haven't found that too often. And I think that, I mean, I feel like with every shift, you're able to influence at least one person in a fear-free way. And that could be a fellow vet. It could be a technician. It could be a client. I mean, I can't think of a single shift where I haven't felt like, oh, I actually did something, you know, positive and made them think about their pet or their patient in a fear-free way. So it's not going to be 100% perfect, but you're not, you know, even if you work in a fear-free practice, not every single patient or client interaction is going to be always 100% fear-free. Yeah. So I feel like I think you can make it work.
Great.
Yeah. And my business advisor always says, it's my favorite thing. He says, don't let perfection be the enemy of good. And I think that that's such a great saying, because it is true. You can and will make an impact, and that impact will have a ripple effect. And you may not see the result right away. You may never know about the result, but when you lead by example and, you know, you lead with gentleness and kindness and an open mind, people will mostly react positively to that. And you'll make an impression on people, even the quiet ones who don't say anything and you don't know, but they may notice how you're doing something different and admire it and adopt it.
Yeah, that's great. And yes, that phrase should probably be tattooed on every vet student as they graduate. I think that's a good segue, though, into autonomy and its relationship to burnout that you have as a relief vet, right? So if, for say, you walked into a practice that was just absolutely not allowing you to do your fear-free techniques, you have the choice then to not go back there, right? I mean, I have to imagine that's a big part of why relief works well for you guys. Is that a fair assumption?
Absolutely. And I think there was a study done, I think Galaxy Vets worked on it, and Relief Forever, we helped Galaxy Vets with this study, and culture is the number one reason why relief vets will go back to a practice. It wasn't pay. It wasn't hours worked. It wasn't the number of patients they saw. It was culture. And so we do have right now, the demand far exceeds the supply. And so at this point in time, relief vets can choose where they want to go.
Yeah. And I think one tip I learned from other relief vets is to not book more than a couple shifts at a new clinic, because you know, they may not be a good fit for you, but you may also not be a good fit for them. And so unlike being an associate where you're, you know, kind of signing on to a 1-year contract with a non-compete, you're really only doing contract for 1 to 2 days. So I think that, you know, it's a really great way to kind of set these boundaries and advocate for yourself as well. Because I think for me, just, you know, if you have a mismatch with a clinic, it definitely can lead to frustration and stress. And I'm sure, you know, clinics feel the same way if you're not really, you know, fitting in with their culture, like Cindy said. But yeah, I think that sense of autonomy is one of the best things about being a relief vet. It's freedom.
I know that you guys mentioned sort of the hurdle of startup as your own relief veterinarian, the business side of things. I have certainly heard that from people. What are some of the other hurdles that you hear from people thinking about starting a relief company that you might be able to, you know, dissuade them from being worried about?
I feel like the big things that people get afraid of are, you know, business setup. What kind of business should I be? You know, should I be a sole proprietor? Should I be an LLC? Should I be an S corporation? And there's not one right answer. So people just need to educate themselves and understand what those things mean, what that means in their state, what that means because of their income level, when they think of their entire family, what tax bracket they're in. There are all these things to consider, which is why you can't advise one solution across the board. Another thing I think people get a little intimidated by are like taxes, like figuring out the taxes. Suddenly you have to pay your own taxes and you have to pay them quarterly and like what you can write off, what you can't. And that can be kind of intimidating, but it's not that hard. And I always advise people work with a CPA, get a CPA. I mean, I know sometimes people are just, you know, they will use their the tax software and they could do it themselves. But when you're your own business, it is advisable to get a CPA, and they're professionals, you know, but they're well worth their cost. Just like we feel like we're worth our cost. Like, hey, don't go to Google and figure out how to take ask me. I'm a professional. I went to school. Like we feel that our education is valuable. Well, so is theirs. And I always tell people, don't forget you can write that expense off consulting with a professional. So those things don't have to be intimidating, and you can get help. And once you get that stuff set up, it's pretty easy. It's pretty easy from there. I think another thing people may get intimidated by is that feeling of always feeling a little unsettled as you go into a new practice, working with a new team. I've certainly heard people feeling a little bit nervous about, like, am I being judged as to what kind of vet I am? Okay, let's just tell the truth. 100% you are. Yes. The minute you walk in, you are being sized up. It's okay. It's not necessarily a bad thing. And I think the most important thing to remember is not to feel defensive about it. Have some confidence in your ability to do your job, and don't feel like you need to know everything. I mean, I've been a vet since 2004. I still for sure don't know everything. And I get myself into situations where I'm like, I feel like I should know what to do. I maybe knew what to do at one point in my life, but now I've forgotten. And I'll ask for help. And just sort of leaving that ego at home, knowing that you can learn from whatever environment you're in, and you can learn something from every team member. And keeping that open mind and remembering that no matter what group of people you're with or what type of clinic you're in, you guys are all working as a team for the same goal of supporting this business and helping those pets. And if you don't walk in with this like worry or defensiveness at being judged, it's so much more enjoyable. So I just say, you know what? Go with the flow, enjoy it, don't stress.
Great advice. Julie, are there any things you hear as far as hurdles that you might want to address for people?
Yeah, I think I think some people get concerned about, okay, how do I find work? So, luckily, as Cindy mentioned, there's a pretty big demand for vets right now. And so really just accessing your local contacts, reaching out to clinics, your VMA advertising on there. And this is, of course, all stuff that we cover in our course, which is, you know, how to find work. But yeah, I think that's something that a lot of people stress about. I also have heard people stress about, oh, well, how do I take time for myself? Because, you know, once clinics find out that you're available, they're going to be wanting to book you for like the next 6 months. And, oh, what's your availability for this day? And it's like, and for me, you know, I want to leave time in my life to do other things. So non-vet things. And so just trying to set those boundaries for, you know what? I am not going to be working. I don't know. For me, I don't work 5 days a week in the clinic. For me, like 3 days is what I try to, you know, plan for. And that kind of leaves, you know, some mental space and emotional space and physical space for me to pursue some of these other non-clinical, you know, areas of work. But yeah, I think just really rethinking your life and just realizing, you know, I have the freedom to have control over when I work and I should take advantage of that. So there's that part of it. I think too, managing like personal finances, you know, you're not going to have that cushy CE budget of a couple thousand a year or whatever your, you know, contract allowed for as an associate along with this paid days off. So, you know, a lot of relief vets start panicking about, oh, well, how do I get, you know, free CE? Like, how do I manage my finances? And so it's really kind of a different shift too, because I think a lot of relief vets are either, you know, pro sal or salary or production. And, you know, for relief vets, we get paid per shift usually. So that's either hourly or by the day. And so just kind of rethinking your finances and thinking, you know what, this is like before taxes. Mm-hmm. So taxes are going to take mm-hmm. a huge chunk of my income. And it's definitely shocking when you have to pay that first tax bill, like Cindy was saying. But yeah, I think of those two things. And then the final thing I was going to mention is just, you know, communicating with staff members, because you are just kind of constantly making a first impression and trying to stay positive, but also realizing, yes, they're judging you because they don't know you. And for me, I'm definitely not above food bribes. So if I go to a new clinic, I bring a box of donuts, you know, as a peace offering. And so just like little things like that, I think. And then realizing, you know what, like this clinic may not be a good fit and that's okay. Like I don't have to feel bad as a person. They don't have to feel bad as a clinic. There's so many different types of vets out there and it's okay just to acknowledge that it's not a good fit and I'm going to move on to this other, you know, shift. So I think it's just a different way of thinking. And I, you know, I'm a pretty new relief vet, so I'm still kind of coming to terms with some of this stuff.
Yeah, that's great advice. I hear a lot of boundary setting there and sort of personal work, whether it's like personal mindset or personal finances. So probably a benefit to all of us, but it's great advice for people considering relief for sure. Let's switch and talk a little bit about the million other things you guys have going on in your life, partly because probably that you're relief vets and have time for them. So Cindy, what else do you do besides Relief Rover and any clinical work that you're doing?
Well, and one of the things I love about being a relief vet, like I think I said in the beginning, I consider myself a professional sampler. Relief practice allows me the ability to what I call diversify my practice portfolio within vet med. So that might mean I'm doing ER, GP, shelter, whatever. I'm mixing it up to keep it interesting. But I might also, like Julie, you know, speaking has become part of what I do. Writing has become part of what I do. Consulting has become part of what I do. And all while using my veterinary education. But I also have created a space in my life. I was actually a cancer patient. So I ended up right after I graduated from vet school, which is why I left my internship. Mm-hmm. As a result of that experience, I came up with a pajama that's designed for being in the hospital. So I started a company based on that. So we basically design pajamas and other accessories and clothing designed for women either hospitalized or undergoing cancer treatment at home. And I made some space in my life for that. And I will tell you, like having like opening another side of my brain and thinking about a whole other population of people. I mean, there is a theme of always wanting to be helpful, like a lot of veterinarians are. We're helpers, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, this is another way that I wanted to help a population of people that, you know, I'm connected to. Okay. So I do that as well. And then, you know, I try to make time for fun and stuff like that.
And that's called Kick It Pajamas, right?
That's called Kick It Pajamas. Yep.
That's a very noble cause. I appreciate the work that you do there. Julie, how about you? How do you feel like your other aspects of your life have opened up after a little more space from being a relief vet?
You know, I consider my career kind of fluid. I was inspired by this book that I read. It's not by, or listened to, audiobook. She's not a vet. She's a speaker and author who writes for the Harvard Business Review and Forbes. Her name is Dori Clark. Highly recommend her work. I think I've told Cindy about it, but I listened to this book called Entrepreneurial You, where she talks about this portfolio career idea where you diversify, you know, your income streams, but you're also diversifying your interests. And to me, I just found that really inspiring because, you know, many vets kind of just have their job and they don't really think about these other things that they could do. So once I listened to that book, I really took it to heart and started, you know, exploring some of these other things that I mentioned, like speaking and writing. I love cats. I didn't realize that I was a cat person until I got my first cat. And I realized as I was going to more and more of these clinics that a lot of people just aren't comfortable handling cats and are actually scared of cats. And if you really are able to connect with your feline patients in a compassionate way, you know, the pet owner can see it and they're so open to all these suggestions that you can do that you're offering. And so, earlier this year, I collaborated with another vet, Dr. Sally Foot, on a cat-friendly kind of feline handling workshop where we worked with vet techs and vet assistants. And I just loved working with them because they're the ones who do the majority of handling. And I felt like just kind of being able to spread compassion with how they handle their patients is going to really help, you know, 100 times, you know, beyond just like the, you know, 5 cats that we handled during the workshop. So I'd really like to get more into a feline focus just with hands-on workshops and, you know, consulting for clinics and being cat-friendly and fear-free. Beyond that, I've kind of done some volunteer work with the AFP. So I'm a volunteer with their cat-friendly practice committee and I'm an intern for their board of directors. So it's been really cool to see an organization kind of behind the scenes and, you know, being able to innovate with the board of directors. And it's like, oh, how does policy get implemented to the final, you know, decisions for a huge organization like the AFP. So yeah, I just kind of feel like I'm really open to just trying different things. And I encourage anyone listening to just, you know, don't limit yourself. Like if there's something that's, you know, you think, oh, well, that could be kind of cool, I would just reach out to the person or just think about doing it. Because even if you don't feel like you're qualified, like the stakes are pretty low. I feel like the worst they can say is no. And I just feel like you're going to find all sorts of interesting little career turns that you can take just by, you know, trying new things.
Yeah, that's great. You guys are great examples of keeping an open mind and all the different directions you can go. And I can certainly relate. I mean, this podcast is veterinary based, but it's certainly a very different project than clinical work. And it's probably the only reason I'm still doing clinical work because I got to do something else creative with my brain. So 100% agree. Okay, so I want to wrap up. I want to clarify a couple things. If you become a free member of Relief Rover, you can then get a discount on your fear-free annual subscription. So that's a big important point for people. And we'll make sure to put all those links in there. Once you're a member of Fear-Free, then you can take your course, Fear-Free for Relief Vets, which will also help people just understand how to set up their relief business, correct?
Well, there's a actually, that's not true. There's not a lot about business setup specifically. It is much more about like how to be a fear-free. Okay. Yeah. Relief vet. But there's a lot of resources on Relief Rover for how to set up your business and, you know, all those kinds of things.
Okay. Perfect. All right. So we'll make sure all those links go in the show notes. And then if people have questions for you guys directly, what's the easiest way to reach you?
I can be reached, Cindy Trice, DVM at ReliefRover.com. I'm happy to be a sounding board, a resource for anyone. So don't hesitate to reach out.
Awesome. And Julie, what's the best way to connect with you? Some people are like more active on social media or email or.
Yeah, I'm active on LinkedIn, so I use that. So feel free to reach out to me with that. I have a personal website. It's fluxvet.com. And then my email is jliudvm@gmail.com. And yeah, I definitely would be happy to answer any questions about, you know, fear free or how you become a relief vet.
Perfect. Okay. And then I ask all my guests, I don't know if I prepped you guys for this one or not, but what is one small thing that has brought you joy this past week?
I know. I just got back from a vacation and I have not read a novel in so long. I've been reading like business books and, you know, all like personal growth stuff, which is good.
Yeah.
But I finally read a novel and it's the best novel. It was called Clara and the Sun by Kazuo Ishiguro. Highly recommend it. It's such a great read. And that brought me so much joy.
Great. I love it. I also tend to only read personal growth books. So now I have to ask you, what's your most recent best personal growth book?
I guess most recently I've been reading Pitch Anything for business purposes. Yeah, yeah, kick great. It. Yeah. Kick it and relief forever.
Perfect. Okay, Julie, how about you? What's a small moment of joy?
I think for me, it's going back to see movies in the theater. I've been pretty COVID conscious, but I love movies. And yeah, I've been seeing a movie a week for the past few weeks. And it's definitely a different experience. But I think just recapturing the joy of seeing a film on the big screen and feeling like your life has at least is slowly, you know, regaining some sense of normalcy, you know, in the pandemic. I've just loved it. And I want to keep seeing weekly movies awesome. In the theater if possible.
That's a great goal. I love that goal. Perfect. Well, thank you guys so much for sitting down with me today. I think we covered a lot in a short time, but I think it will probably be super helpful for some listeners. So thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks so much. It was really fun.
Thanks again for listening. I so very much appreciate the time you spend with me. For more information or to sign up for our monthly newsletter, please check out the website at thewholeveterinarian.com. You can also connect with me on Instagram at thewholeveterinarian. If you loved this episode, please do me a favor and share it with a friend, or if you feel so inclined, leave a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Thanks so much, and I will talk to you again soon.